This is MemCare by Radio with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of MemCare by Radio and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Our special guest today, as we think about orientation as you arrive on the new field, is Scott Hicks. He works with Barnabas International. He lives in Senegal in West Africa. His responsibilities include team counseling and one-on-one counseling with expat Christian workers, helping them to adapt and helping them to be healthy emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. MemCare's Scott Hollinger talked with him recently.
One of the things that I know that you wanted to talk about today was the idea of on-field orientation. And I can remember very well going through pre-field orientation. I guess I had a bit of an advantage because I had served a short term with my organization already. And so when I went back out, I pretty much knew what was going to happen. But I know that there were several couples who I would say had sort of a deer in the headlight look as they were going through pre-field orientation. So we, you know, most organizations do have some sort of pre-field orientation so that the folks are equipped somewhat. So explain to us, what is the advantage of having an on-field orientation? Why is this important for people going out to have and for the organizations to look at having?
Right. First of all, I don't believe it's an either or. I do believe both are needed. I think people need pre-field training, and I think within organizations, we're getting a lot better at this. I think people have really begun to see the need to do a good pre-field orientation of what's going to happen to the best of their knowledge and ability. And so they would talk about cultural changes and relational changes and some of what may happen in their country of service. And sometimes this can be anywhere from about a week to 3 weeks of training. And so I applaud those that are doing that. And hopefully they're just getting better and better at equipping before they leave. What happens, unfortunately, is that that is the end of their training. And now they have been equipped and they have all the tools. And so now go do what it is that God has called you to do, which, unfortunately, there's a whole new set of issues waiting when they get to the field. I call it the perfect storm. It's kind of like that movie Once Upon a Time that was made, and you know, all these weather systems came together to make this perfect storm, which wasn't so perfect. It was very devastating. There's a similar reality, and you can tell me a whole lot of things pre-field in preparation, and that's helpful, but there's nothing like the reality of it. It's one thing to be told that language learning is difficult. You can do it. It's another thing to babble as a two-year-old when you're 20, 30, 40 years old and you're regressing to not being able to say more than hello and goodbye. That is a whole new frustration that I don't care how many times you've moved within the United States or your passport country. That probably doesn't happen, but to most that go overseas, they are going to learn at least one, maybe two languages. That's going to be tough to do. But as I looked at it, Scott, my perfect storm has to do with just the loss of relationships, the loss of continuity, the loss of role that people come with. You know, people come as pastors, people come as, in my case, counselors. They've had a role, they've had a responsibility, they've been the go-to person. So if we have a problem in our church, a counseling need, we know who to call. We call, and in my case, well, let's call Scott and let's set him up. Well, all of a sudden you go overseas and you lose that designation. You may come as a counselor, but nobody knows you. Nobody knows your expertise. No one knows really what you can or can't do. No one knows your philosophy. You call yourself a biblical pastoral counselor. Well, what does that mean? Would you counsel someone to get divorced? Well, that's not very biblical. And then all the stories come out about, you know, the 15 people that they know, they've gone to a biblical counselor who've been harmed or wronged. And so you lose whatever the credibility is, whatever responsibility role you had, and you have to start all over. And so that's a huge loss. When we went overseas 12 years ago, there was really a sense in my head that if you build it, they will come. And I built it and they did not come. There was a sense of proving that I had something to offer that was contextualized. It wasn't a book. It wasn't true simply in North America, that it was also true within the field. And in a number of situations, life is the same. Counseling is counseling, but there are some real uniquenesses to counseling that just are not true in North America. And so they're not the same. And I think there is a reality to there needs to be the reality that you've lived in my shoes. You've walked in my shoes and you have an idea of what you're talking about when you counsel with me. And so the first one is loss. The second one is just the whole transition reality, where again, I not only, these are kind of overlays, they don't kind of stand alone, they're kind of piled on top of one another, but you know, transition is just this process that we have no experience going through. You know, we're not used to having to say goodbye to an entire context and start all over. And yet that is the reality. We're kind of used to things happening quickly. Different researchers have said that transition takes somewhere around a year and a half, and that's a long period of time. And if I'm expecting this to be over within about 4 weeks, there's going to be kind of a disconnect between what I wanted to happen and what reality is. And so, again, that makes up this part of this storm. And probably the third one that would overlay on top of that is just the whole area of new stresses, things that I have never had to think about. Not only is their language, not only is their culture, not only is their food change, but I have now changed probably responsibilities. My income has changed. I'm now part of a team that, for the most part, I didn't pick. I've been grafted into it. It could be multi-generational. It could be multicultural. There are just so many things going on. When does my day start and when does it end? When do I punch the clock? When will I know when my job is done? These are all stresses that many of us have never had to, not in its entirety. We probably have bits and pieces of that no matter what job we're in, but all of them kind of come together. And there's a level of stress that all of a sudden I'm trying to figure out how do I do this? And pre-field orientation, though it tries to address it, would be insufficient to actually walk somebody through all that they're facing and all that they're trying to figure out when they reach the field.
When my wife and I made the transition to the island of Bonaire, we had lived in the U.S. for about 3 years between overseas assignments. And we had lived on the island of Guam, which was a U.S. possession, so English was widely spoken. There were a lot of cultural things that, because my wife is from Asia, we were able to just really easily get along with. And then moving to Bonaire, which is in the Caribbean, uses a different form of currency, different language. We found that what started to really hit us, and it kind of surprised us, were the little things. Things like, you know, the currency. Trying to figure out in my head, okay, you know, their currency is worth 76 cents US. Yep. And how does that work? You know, am I doing okay when I buy this product? Mm-hmm. Or just the way that you'd have to go through the different government offices didn't make it wrong. It was just the way their government did things. Yep. But after a while, well, at the very beginning, especially, we felt like this is wrong. Why are they doing it this way? Or is it those kind of areas that I guess you're talking about when it comes to on-field orientation?
Yep, exactly. That and then probably a whole lot more. That different somehow gets equated as being wrong. And when I get into a culture and what I'm seeing around me is wrong, it's going to lead to a lot of frustration. Yeah. And probably not a lot of health in the midst of dealing with things that I am looking at as wrong. When we first went, we would spend hours trying to get packages from the post office. You know, well-meaning people back in North America trying to encourage us would send us packages. But there was 9 windows that we had to negotiate with limited French skills. And again, trying to figure out exactly what are they asking for and how much is this really? And is this going to be worth it? It was just a huge deal. Now you look at this again from your North American eyes and it's like, you got a package. What's the big deal about getting a package? Overseas, again, depending where you are, getting a package can be a big deal. Now, when I'm standing and it takes me 2 hours, not only travel, but being in line, getting my package, is that ministry time? or is this my time? Was this family time? What time was this? Where do I clock this into? And unfortunately, many would put that into, that's my time. Or that was family time, but it wasn't ministry time. And so that 2 hours has now just been removed from my life, and I still have people to go and see and work. And we begin to realize that there's not enough hours in the day living here. I'm cooking from scratch. I'm in language study. I'm getting packages. I'm negotiating this or that or the other things. I'm being visited by neighbors. And all of a sudden, I begin to realize that my quiet time, my downtime, my time with my wife, my kids, if those are realities, there just isn't time for that. And what we begin to start seeing is this idea of stress fractures, where if I don't stop, if I don't start doing something different, it's going to be a bigger problem.
Scott Hollinger talking with Scott Hicks about some of the challenges for a new arrival on the field, and how on-field orientation and briefing can help, and why it is important. Maybe you can identify with some of those examples and situations. Okay, we'll learn more about that next week at this same time.
This feature is a presentation of MemCare by Radio. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We would like to invite you to check out our website further. We offer other audio features and resources to help you in your work and ministry. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that we feel will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of MemCare by Radio and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.